New Year always reminds me that it's a time when people set new resolutions and things that they want to accomplish, goals that they've set for themselves. There's different thoughts on goal setting. I happen to be a real believer in having goals because it's a target, and you see the target. If you're playing darts, you can't hit the target unless you can see it. Pin the tail on the donkey. What do? They blindfold you, spin you around, laugh at you, make fun of you. But if you took the blindfold off, that wouldn't happen. So I believe that God takes the blindfold off of us, and he sets a specific goal for us to focus on and to work towards. You could call it a purpose. You could call it a goal. It might be the path that he wants us to follow, the steps that he wants to follow. So the purpose of this study, as we start the new year, is to ask ourselves, what does God want us to achieve? And what path do I take to get there? And how do I know that I'm on the right path? So with that in mind, and I know that there's a few of you out there that'll go, oh, that's not for us. That's for Israel. Yeah, that's true. But it is something that gives us hope, because we serve the same God. And he has given us his word. If he didn't want us to have the Psalms, the Proverbs, etc., to look at and learn from, why did he provide it? Why didn't he just wipe it out? Why did he expose the Dead Sea Scrolls? So as we think about these words that I'm going to give, these references that I'm going to give, think of them in terms of these are good things. Ron just talked about it. The commandments, they're not for us. But Paul repeated most of them. Other than the Sabbath, I think he repeated just about everything. So let's keep that in mind. And interestingly, as I talk about the fact that we set resolutions, okay, Pal Talk kicked me out. I don't know if you can hear me okay. But
you did freeze up a little bit, Forrest. You did freeze up a little bit on Zoom, so it must be a network connection at your end.
Yeah, it's an internet thing. They demolished the house next door, and I don't know what else they did, but it's been that way ever since. So I'm logging back in. So researchers have told us that people who set resolutions, and now I'm completely out, that people who set resolutions actually break them within 14 days. So here we are, the 11th. It's interesting because I go down to the health facility and work out three times a week, and it's kind of crowded right now, but by Monday or Wednesday of next week, it'll be half the people there. And then a week later, it'll be half of those, and it'll just be us regulars again. So it's kind of interesting to see all these people that show up and they're gung-ho, and then they lose their passion and they lose their motivation. Well, it's good that we have the word to look at, because it can remind us on a daily basis, assuming we're reading on a daily basis, that there's things that the Lord wants us to do, the way he wants us to act, etc. So if you turn with me to Psalm 16:11, it says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." The word path here is translated road, a well-trodden road, caravan, path, race, or way, or highway for that matter. And so you see all these different words that we'll see in the English as we go through the study, that are translated. And so as we ask the question, you know, what's the right way? Well, here the psalmist has asked the Lord, show me the path of life. Well, we know that path of life. It's to believe on Christ Jesus as our Lord, God, and Savior. He died for us. He rose again. And we have that hope. Psalms 25:4 uses the same word. It says, show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to the mercy, to thy mercy, remember thou me, thy goodness, for thy goodness sake. Good and upright is the Lord,
the Lord.
Hey, Forrest, I patched you through on my login and Pal Talk, so you can just go ahead and mute your audio on your side for Pal Talk, and we should be fine.
Okay, just did that. So I was reading Psalms 24 or 25:4. It says, good and upright is the Lord, therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach the way that he should choose. His soul shall dwell at ease.
Yeah.
So again, here we have the Lord's mercy guides us, teaches us the way, and we need to follow his covenant and his testimonies. Again, not written to us today, but that doesn't mean that there aren't things that in Paul's prison epistles that he said these are the things that you should follow. The point, though, is that if we let the Lord teach us, if we're teachable, if we're coachable, then we have the ability to know what path we're supposed to be on. Psalms 27:11 says just exactly that. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies.
Yeah.
In Psalms 119:35, make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline mine heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear or to thy respect. Different word here. It's the word derech. It has meaning to tramp or to beat a path, to travel a certain way. And so here again, if we turn away from covetousness, that's the right way. Pride gets in the way all the time of what the Lord wants us to do. And if we are devoted.
Yeah, it appears that Forrest has lost his internet connection from his location. So give it a few minutes and see if we can bring him back.
I'm back.
Gotcha.
Okay. Apologize for this, and I know it's probably frustrating for those of you. The good news is you don't need to hear my voice. You've got Tony and Chico both posting the verses. You can read those as we go and pull from it. So, again, I apologize for this network connection. It's pretty pathetic. But I just quoted Psalm 119:105. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How encouraging that is. You know, you can visualize Israel as they were coming out of Egypt. The Lord provided a pillar of fire at night and a cloud to follow by day. I believe that is not something that we have a pillar of fire to go by. But we know that the Lord, Christ Jesus, is our light. And therefore, he does in fact light our path. 139 verses 3 through 8 says, "Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." For those that believe that hell is a place of tormenting fire, maybe you ought to take a look at this verse, because guess what? If the Lord's there, it's not a tormenting fire. Psalms 142:3, "When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, they privily laid a snare for me." So we have to be careful that from time to time, we're going to have individuals back that are going to go after us in some way, shape, or form. Sometimes it's principalities and powers. Evil principalities and powers. That's a challenge for us that are believers. The non-believers, you know, Satan and demonic beings, they leave them alone. It's us that have that target on our back. Something that, is a badge of honor, if you will. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 9. "Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." So I think this word is a different word. It's magal, and it has to do with a track, also a rampart, a path, a trench, or a way or a wayside. And it goes on in the balance of these verses to talk about these paths. And so I'm going to read verses 10 through 21. "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee." So here we go. Wisdom enters your heart. Where does wisdom come from? It comes from the Word. Is this just to Israel that gets this wisdom? No, it's anyone who reads his word. "To delivery from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of uprightness, to walk in the ways of darkness." Here we go. There's the opposite. We're supposed to walk in the light. "Who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger that flattereth with her words, which forsake the guide of her youth, and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it." Okay, we're not going to dwell in the land. I get that. But if we keep the paths of righteousness, the paths of life, instead of the paths of death, the idol worshippers, the strange women, strange men, etc., when the path is crooked, it's only God who can make it straight. And he makes it straight to guide us, to show us what path we should be on. Proverbs 3:6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." And "Wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil, and it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones." Here's that same word, Derek. And it has to do with a mode of traveling. But it's interesting to me that be not wise in their own eyes. It's that pride again. How often very intellectual individuals, They may have their doctorate. They may be just high IQ, but they talk down to people and people just turn them off. They don't want to hear it. But instead, be not wise in thine own eyes. It is the Lord who has that wisdom, that gives us that wisdom. It is the fear of the Lord that allows us to understand fully. We seek that knowledge from him, from his word, and we continue to walk in it. Proverbs 4:11. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. When thou goest, thy steps shall be straightened. When thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it. Turn from it, pass away. For they sleep not, except that they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. There's such a contrast here between light and dark. And sure enough, you're going to stumble in the dark. If any of you have ever stubbed your toe walking down your own hallway, you know, it's 4 feet wide or 3 feet wide, whatever, it should fit pretty easy, and yet you stub your toe. How does that happen? Well, it's dark. You don't want to stub your toe, walk in light. Turn a light on. How do we do that? We look to his word. Proverbs 4:26, ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. This is the word magal that we looked at earlier. So let's look at a couple of references now in the New Testament. And again, these aren't necessarily, so I was just saying, let's move to the New Testament, Matthew 3:3. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now this is interesting because it's talking about Isaiah, but we know that this was actually John the Baptist. The Greek word here is hodos. It has to do with a route or progress or a road, a journey, a way or a highway. And why would the Lord necessarily need this? Well, in the custom of the time prior to the Lord, kings and very, very wealthy merchants would have escorts to take them through areas that as they traveled, and they would remove boulders. They would make the potholes filled so that the coaches wouldn't bounce around. But they would also straighten the roads where possible, they would make sure that it was easily traveled for the king or for the royalty or for these wealthy merchants. And make it safe as well. And so, Christ, in this case, being a king to Israel, not to us, he is our head, but to a king to Israel, he needed someone that would come before him and, in fact, make the path straight, make it easy for him. Because he was the one that first recognized who Christ was. In Hebrews 12:13, it says, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. The word path here is the word trochia. It has to do with a track or a course, a way of conduct. And so as we think about this, it says follow peace with all men. If that's not a good way, a good path to follow, you know, be a light to others, so that they will ask the question, you know, what's the hope in you? I'm now going to take more time just spending the,
Hold on, folks. We're waiting for Horace to return.
I already say this, but I'm back.
You're back.
Okay.
You're Proverbs 5. I think you're a Proverbs 5:21.
Did I finish it?
I don't believe so, no.
Okay, let's go back. Proverbs 5:21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondereth all his goings. His own iniquities shall take the wicked of himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. The ways of the Lord are before the eyes, I'm sorry, the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. He sees all. He's omnipresent. But a foolish person, a wicked person, he's before the Lord as well. But without the instruction from the Lord, he's going to continue in his folly. He doesn't know any better. But we do, because we have his word. Proverbs 7:25, let not thine heart decline to her ways, go not astray in her paths, for she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. her house is the way to the grave, to Sheol. And so we know that we need to decline to go in the way of the wicked. We want to know what path to be on. We need to be on the path of those good individuals, those individuals who are walking worthy on the right path, and we can follow them. Don't follow the others. Proverbs 11:20. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such as are upright in their way are his delight. There we go. He sees everything. He's delighted when we are upright in our way.
Yeah.
The opposite of that, Proverbs 14:12, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death.
Yeah.
Proverbs 15:19, the way of the slothful man is a hedge of thorns, but the way of the righteous is made plain. This goes back to making the way straight. That we saw in Matthew. Another verse that I'm sure most can quote, Proverbs 16:9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directs his steps. This different Hebrew word, it's tesad, it has to do with a regular step or pace, but is translated either pace or way or step. Multiple times. Proverbs 16:17. The highway of the upright is to depart from evil, and he that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. This is the Greek or the Hebrew word derech again. It has to do with a pathway, one that is well trodden. And so the path for the pride, the prideful, is well trodden. It's from the beginning. Satan, he created that path for man. You'll be like God if you know, if you have all this knowledge, if you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You need to know that. And that's the lie that he's been telling people ever since. Just a couple of more references. In John, New Testament, 14:6, John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Greek word here is hodos. It has to do with a road, has to do with a journey, and is translated either way or highway. I'm reminded there's an old saying, something about it's better to take the high road. Well, that would be the highway, as opposed to, the low way. 1 Thessalonians 3:11. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. To the end we may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father. at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints, that he would direct our way. He does that. I recognize that this was a previous dispensation, but I believe that the Lord is still directing our way, and he's using his word to do so, whether it's Old Testament, New Testament, previous dispensation, or current dispensation. His word guides us and blesses us if we stick with it. Two more references. We talked about path. We've talked about steps. We've talked about the way. Let's take a look and see if there's a word for goal. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The word mark there is the Greek word scopus, and it has to do with an idea. It has to do with a goal. So earlier I mentioned if you have a dart set, you have a target. That's the mark. That's the mark that you're shooting for. You're trying to aim for a specific place. Paul is telling us that he was pressing towards a specific target, a specific goal, and that there was a prize for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So what's my goal? My goal, you can be found in Colossians 1, verses 9 through 12. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long suffering with joyfulness. What's my goal? My goal is to walk worthy. My goal is to press for the mark or the prize of the high calling. So, as you think about 2026, hard to say that sometimes. I've fortunately been able to write 2026 when I've had to, instead of 2025. But I'm not looking for anything behind any longer. I'm looking for what's going forward. So what goals have you set for this year? Hopefully it includes a spiritual goal. Not just, oh, I want to make this much money, or I want to travel here, or I want to do something fun, take a vacation, whatever the case may be, but a spiritual goal. Mine is to continue to read through the Bible in a year. I've been doing so since 2001, received a John MacArthur Bible that said read the Bible in a year, and so you start in Genesis, you get a little Psalms and Proverbs and a little bit of the New Testament, obviously not written from a dispensational standpoint. He's got some good margin notes. But I decided this year to go back to the Companion Bible, because I haven't read through the Companion Bible in a year's timing since probably shortly after I, verse by verse, and just so though those of you who might decide to do the same, you have to read 6 pages a day to get through the entire Companion Bible in a year. And that includes the appendices, by the way. 6 pages a year. But what's interesting to me is to read some of the notes, of Bullinger, in the margin, and to focus on some of those things. For instance, one example is that, in Genesis, it talks about creation, created the heavens and the earth, and, you know, day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and then he rests on day seven. But then, and only after all of creation had been made, did he create man. Why? Well, Bullinger's note says, so that man couldn't take credit for any of it. Wow. Right? Wouldn't that be prideful? But so it's just those little things that you pick up that this brilliant Bible scholar was aware of and was successful with in his studies, to be able to leave to us 100 years later or longer to go back and be able to read through those things. You know, my goal is to spend at least 30 to 60 minutes every morning devotionally, to send out a text to others, writing articles for TFT and for Scripture Research, and to support ministries that support the truth. Might not always be perfectly dispensational, but where there's breath, there's hope. And I would hope that each of you take a healthy pause and think about what it is that you want, like to achieve this year, that the Lord might want you to achieve. Pray about it. Think on it. Take a look at some of these verses that I gave you, and what does it lead you to decide to do?